What I always like doing when I go to Sunday school, by the way, you're always welcome to ask questions. What I always found out, a lot of times you're sitting there and the Lord will bring you a thought or an idea. Many times does that, and for sure, raise your hand. I'd like to hear about it. A lot of times I sat down there or, you know, the Lord spoke to me some way, so, and then you forget about it. Especially the older we get, the more we get. So don't be afraid to comment or have a question or something. Chime right in. A lot of times the Lord may be working through you and we want to know about it. Before I begin, I was like, when I was going to school, I was never, until I got saved, I was really kind of a, you know, not very schoolless. We always had news and views. I kind of always liked that because, you know why? It's an excuse not to get into the books. But you know what I found out? I like the news, but I like looking at it obviously through the eyes of Scripture. And you can't read any sort of article today without being kind of frustrated and seeing how the world has turned, kind of get into my message here. I found an article here. It just didn't take me long to find one. And this is kind of, since I live in Illinois and you all live in Indiana here, it's probably good news for you. There's an article, and it says, in a stirring speech, Pete Buttigieg makes history again for LGBT Americans at first gay cabinet nominee. Now, but I guess the good news for Indiana is he's leaving your state, okay? But he's going to to Washington. But it's amazing is how the news media slants things and puts words in here, and you got to catch them. Because without a doubt, the news media will get you killed. Get that, okay? So you want to make sure, I tell people, I go, whatever they believe, I'm the opposite. They're probably okay on weather and maybe the sports score, if they ain't rigged either, whatever, you know. But otherwise, whatever they believe, I'm the opposite. So here we go. Just a little, some little comments here. It says, making history again. Well, what kind of history? I mean, you know, you can question almost everything out of here. What kind of history? First openly gay man is nominated to cabinet role. Well, first of all, there are probably a lot of gay or queer people. This is the first one that's public. You know, I mean, if you look at history, there's probably a lot of people that were in a closet. Matter of fact, when I was in high school, back in the 70s, if you, you know, were gay, you didn't even dare tell anybody because it was kind of very taboo, just my generation, showing you how we're kind of heading south. And if they found out, we would have like a bunch of groups. They call them like the burnouts, they'd be called, a group called the greasers. And the greasers were like these, you know, these grease back hair or jackets. They take care of the gay guy, seriously. So, and I went for that. But, I mean, you couldn't even come out to show you how the shifting has been over the last 20, 30, 40 years and how the news media promotes it. There's a guy here, James Hormel, and he says, according to Buttigieg, that when he was nominated back in 1998 by Bill Clinton, get it? Birds of a feather flock together. This guy was a gay or a queer, whatever you want to call him. And you know, he goes, one day, you know, how bold the thing that was. It says here, now he wants to create these limits. First of all, these pictures. You know, the pictures could speak language. And the words speak language. And these pictures are all picked out. A little picture of a Guggenbeg or Buttigieg, whatever his name is, and his husband on the front there. I mean, honestly, what though? Seriously, kind of, I don't know about you, but kind of makes my stomach sick a little bit. I don't know about you, but you know what though? It kind of, but you know what happens over a while? You know, and then you get kind of used to it even a little bit. But it's kind of real sickening. I saw how these limits could be challenged. That's what he says here. It says here that this today's announcement of him being appointed by Biden is sending a message. Now here we go in our picture. What are you using? A young girl, a children, innocent children, folks. That's what they do. They have these, and they're painted up with these American flags. That's a really shame to do that. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. It's a shame to use kids to promote your agenda like that. It really is. And that's what they're doing. Using children to promote these things here. His husband's name is Chatin Buttigieg, or Chasen, and they're glorifying that he's always with him, you know, his husband. It says here that about 1/5 of all millennials identify as LGBT. I don't know if that's true. That means 20% of all millennials, not the people I know, so 20%. Back in the day, they're telling you 10%. They're trying to just tell you this big number. They're a minority, but they're always trying to put that words out there to believe it. It's telling you about a lie. This is a historic milestone for the LGBT visibility. There's a group called GLAAD, and this is an organization started by a lady here, and she's organized to protect, to defame the LGBT. There's an organization in Washington, so they can't defame them, and she was started back when they had the AIDS epidemic, you know, and people were naming them, associating with AIDS, with the gays, which they should have. That was actually called GRIDS. You know, that was called GRIDS. It was called gay-related immune deficiency syndrome, GRIDS. But then they were tying it to the queers. And so this organization goes, we can't have that because, you know why? Obviously, you know, it's associated with sickness, so they made it AIDS. You know, so, you know, this organization here is committed to diversity. That's another name I'm covering in a minute here. A landmark accomplishments. If you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu. It's quoting these people here. Jennings said in an interview, knowing that gay Americans died by tens of thousands without high-level representation during the AIDS of the 80s. Now we have someone at the table to make sure our community does not get ignored who have a liberty. Is there to make sure that the train runs on time. How about that? In Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's complete opposite. Complete opposite. The train running on time. I mean, hey, I think it's falling. Here's a kind of interesting picture. A bunch of people holding all their signs, equality. There ain't one happy person in the whole group. You know, the whole group, the picture, they're all like they're miserable. I mean, I don't know about you, but who wants to hang by a bunch of miserable people, right? I mean, it's just a bit miserable. I mean, I'm like, everyone there, just all just like, what am I doing here? You know, they're angry. They're all angry. Anger. It's terrible. It's absolutely crazy. They call this place workplace equality. Listen here. Here I went to the article. Here are some buzzwords that you definitely gotta look at here in news media today. I wrote them down: diversity, equality, open member, sexual orientation, gender identity, inclusion. Those are buzzwords, news media buzzwords, folks. You ought to know the news media buzz, the words they're using, I mean, transform people's minds. It's all about the minds. Once they work on your mind, the news media, and then what happens? Then it goes to your heart. And then from the buttons of the heart, the mouth speak it, and they have actions. That's why they got going to the grade school start and the high school and universities. It's really a battle for your mind. And I look at these articles here, it's just nothing ever changes. Here it says here, I want the LGBT young people across the country to see Secretary Buttigieg to know that the sky is the limit. See that there? I mean, and nothing here about somebody's quality to run a country. It's all because he's gay. What amazes me is, I'm getting off a little bit here, but talking about this diversity of Biden's cabinets. well, this is many women, this is many black, that many gay women here. That's completely what discrimination is. You got a job because you're a woman or black or gay. Wait a minute here. I thought that's what discrimination was. You're black, so you're targeting somebody. The pendulum turned 180 degrees, you know. It swung the whole way. It's not, well, that's why you're getting him in. That's what some of the movements were about, because you're a certain color, you were discriminated. Now, because you are one, you get the jobs. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Complete brainwashing here. The sky's the limit. Look here, it says about the sky, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend up the heights of the clouds. Kind of like they're saying, you know, the sky's the limit, you know, they're exalting themselves up, sin, right? I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's exactly what's going to happen. But they're exalting these people. I mean, it's just, you see this again and again and again. I remember this picture here. This was in June of 26, 2015, when Obama made the White House those colors. I remember that day. Do you remember that day? I had no idea what was happening. I was out on the street, I think, in Downers Grove. They had a festival there, so we were out with signs and preaching out tracts. And about 30 young people, they go, you hear what happened? I go, you know, because obviously I've got a Bible sign. They know that I'm probably the opposite there. We got our right here, you know. And they were so proud, and they wanted to know what I thought. I go, what do you think I think? They know what I thought. I go, I believe the Bible says. They were trying to get, you know, going, I know what they say, you know. They were just like, in a big group, they were just like, they got freedom or something like that. You know, freedom to sin. It's a very dangerous thing. And this is where our history is going, and that's why I read very little news media. But I like reading it, kind of get you stirred up. You know why? Because the Lord's got to be coming, man. I mean, he's got to be. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know. I remember I read the Fourth Estate tapes from Dr. Ruckman way back, and he spent 60 hours going through how bad news media was back in that day. I go, oh, come on. I don't know. I've kind of almost down some of that there, but you know what I found out when I get older? How true that all is. I'm like, man, that's more truth. I doubted some of it, but as you get older and you see things and you read the Word, you see how true some of these things are, you know? So anyways, that kind of moves in towards my Sunday school lesson here today. And I want to talk to you about a few things here that I think are very important. And I don't know where you are in your Christian walk. You got to where you are by a lot of, obviously, the Word of God, personal convictions, personal experiences. And what I found out my Christian walk, I've been saved since 1986, is a lot of in our church age, a lot of people focus on the self. That's a problem with a lot of churches. It's about me, myself, how you feel good, instead of focusing on the Word. And it's such a gradual little twist that then it can get psychology and feeling good. And I see that happening in a dramatic manner. And that's really kind of what history is about here. So what I did here is I want to give you a couple verses here. In 2 Timothy 4:8, these are two verses here that kind of, in your life, you got to nail down a secure foundation. Got to have a foundation. And here's some foundations that I like. It says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, that's something, a verse, you can hide in your heart. Because you know why? You know, and I know, if you're a believer, that, you know what though? You're going to stand for the Lord, and there's going to be a crown of righteous people that love his appearing. That's one crown we all can get if we love his appearing. Just, you know, things the world can get kind of tempted and everything out there, you know? But one crown we all can get is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And on the other side, kind of, you know, everything's kind of has a balance. Revelation 4:11. So I got Revelation 4:11. on the side here, which is your, and then you have 2 Timothy 4 right over here. And Revelation 4:11 is kind of the, you know, I guess their Bible in a big nutshell. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So there you go. Everything we do should make God happy. So is what we're doing or saying making God happy? And on the other side is love is pairing. If you kind of keep those things in your mind, first of all, you'll kind of keep you in a good balance, because when you read things like I read here, or see things going on, injustices, hey, what though? The Lord knows it. What I say, going to do good and glorify God. And what though? I know he's coming again soon. I know if I look forward to that, I'm going to get one crown. Right? We all want to get some crowns, you know? So those are our New Testament truths. Now, God put us right here, right now. I think it's December 20th, 2020. And people out here say, oh, if I would have lived 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you know what though? Maybe. But God put you right here, right now. You had no control of when you were born, did you? Or where you were born. You know, hey, listen, no matter how it is, I always think I could have been living in right now in India in a tin hut with a dirt floor and sewage in the front. I'm not kidding you. You could be. So you got, you know, you can't look at one area, you gotta think of the big picture. So here we have, you know, God's timeline from eternity past, eternity future, and we got obviously innocence and conscience, human government, law, and then here is the Lord Jesus Christ coming, of course. Then we have this thing called the church age. That's who we are today. We're here in the church age, and I believe we're right here at the end of the church age, and we're the Lord Jesus Christ will call his bride, that's us the believers, out of here. Then we got tribulation, millennial, and so forth. But I believe we're right here at the end. That's called the church age, or history, his story. That's important to understand some of these things. You know why? Because you know why? God thought it was important. And if God finds something important, you want to be involved with that, right? You like what God likes. God likes his word. God likes his son. This book is a history book. And so when you look at history, you want to make sure that you're looking at what at God's way. And I kind of looked at Webster's definition of history. And it says, knowing, learn, and to inquire, to explore, to learn by inspection or inquiry. Now, a lot of history can bias, but we got God's word. So that's your basis right there, you know. An account of facts, particularly the facts representing either nations, states, events that happen. There's causes and effect with history. That's what I'm going to cover today. I go, how do we get here? There's a cause and there's an effect. And, you know, the adage is, if you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it. So if you understand what, in my Christian walk, when I understood some of these things here, I see exactly how we got here today. You understand why. You see, it's kind of God just prophesized that. You know, prophecy is history backwards. And it's exactly where we got here. It's like, it's not to be amazed. It says, history of a Christian church, classical history, history of war, conquest, military, knowledge of facts and events, an account of the origin, life, and actions of a person or event. That's history. It's good to know history, his story. I remember going to the jails. We're out of the jails now because of all the COVID baloney. But my buddy Dave, he would get this book. I don't know if you've ever seen it. That opened up from history. It was about 20 feet long. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like a big book, and it goes from the creation all the way to Calvary. And it had, you know, obviously, it had all the history. People like that. I mean, that was really, to the prisoners, they'd all gather around, and my buddy Dave would preach off that. Because obviously, you know, here you are, and you're like, you know, what's life all about? Some unsaved person, you know. You can see the history where the Lord still has his hand in all those matters. And it's very interesting how all that works out, okay? In Revelation, or Isaiah 59, Revelation 1:9 says, write these things which thou hast seen, and things which are, and things which shall be hereafter. So the Lord told John about, hey, here's what's happened in the past, here's what has been in the present, and here's what's happening in the future. So we can look at that from the Bible and look at it where we're at in this history. So where I think we're right over here, getting ready for to be taken out of here. So it's important to see where we came from, how we got here, where we're going. Church history. In Isaiah 59:12-15, it says, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. You see, right there, if you understand the past, you understand every single kind of dispensation, let me get into that a bit, a good foundation that you have to have, if you understand history, you have to understand having a good foundation, okay? And a foundation is having the Word of God, I got our King James Bible there, Psalms 12, 6 and 7, divided by 2 Timothy 2:15. So here we have rightly dividing the word, divided into the word of God, and you have sound doctrine. That's a key, is the word of God divided by rightly dividing the word, and you have sound doctrine. As I go through this, you will see every time somebody does not miss something, it's because they've either changed or altered the word or not rightly divided it. I'm a Polish and I'm slow, but I'm not stupid, okay? You know? And I learned this through a process of just reading, looking at history, seeing problems in quote the church. I go, wait a minute here. That's why it's so important to understand this thing here. And as you look through history, what you find out, like here, Isaiah, is sometime there's some sin, and it's in a teaching or a doctrine. And what happens is the person who brought that sin, it could be a godly person, but he brought in some poor teaching, but he's such a nice guy, he might be a soul winner, nice, and then you look past that and you look at the man. And that's the failure of church history, is they've took their eyes off the word of God and follow a man, denomination, a bad teaching, and once they got this foundation right here, it just goes bad. And so every dispensation, you would say, ends bad. That's a fact. I mean, that's why you know we're premillennial, because the amillennial think we're going to get better. We're going to get worse. So it ends bad here. Ends bad here. You know, end bad here. And so we're church age, it's ending bad. And it's warned about there in 2 Timothy, I'll cover it in a minute, but our dispensation is going to end bad. Now, hey, I hope we have some revivals. You know, it seems like the great Bible revivals of the Old Testament with Josiah, Hezekiah, they all believed the word. They believed the words of God, and we don't seem to have that today. And for not believing the words, you know, maybe individuals can do it, but corporately, I don't see it happening. I hope I'm wrong. I hope through circumstances, God just breeds his mercy and grace on the church or individuals. People get back to the word, and we have people being saved and getting back in the word. But I just don't see that. I hope I'm wrong. But God can do whatever he wants to do. You know, he's in charge. So what we have here is we have this history, and as I read in Isaiah here, for our sins, For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. See, things aren't true. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey, and the Lord God saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. You see that? It's people take truth, turn it into sin, and they don't understand judgment. That's God is judgment. And if you don't see a consequence for what your actions, you're not going to make it. You're going to have problems. You got to see this part here. It says in 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. See it there? Reprove, rebuke. Two-thirds are correcting and exhorting. So most of the scripture, and if you raise kids, a lot of it is negative. Why is it negative? Hey, don't do this here. Don't do that. Don't do this here. Because you have to know what not to do. Before, you know, what's the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, right? You know what, your marriage, you're not going to go look at another woman. You're not going to do things, right? So it's part of, you know, there's some negatives and positives. You look at in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, charity is not doing this, is not doing this, is not doing that. It's negative. You got to have a negative with a positive. Everyone wants to be positive today, you know. It's kind of, you know, you're so negative. But the Bible's negative. Remember, if you like what the Bible says, you're in good company. It's like, you know, I like fishing and hunting, and if I get around people fishing and hunting, I'll kind of gravitate to them. I want to hear some stories, you know. Now, I don't like basket weaving, no offense. So if you like basket weaving, God bless you, but I'm not going to be interested in basket weaving because I'm not interested in basket weaving because I just I think it's kind of, it's for ladies. No offense, men, but I mean, so you gravitate towards things you like, you know, and you gravitate towards what the Word of God says. So here in 2 Timothy 2:14 says, preach the Word. For the time shall come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. That's today. I mean, that was being preached back then, and I'm sure they had back then, but it's a compounding effect. I'll show you through history here. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their eyes from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know, I just read this article. It was a fable. Not even true. But it's presented as fact. They're fables, man. That's not true. But see, what happened is, by not understanding what truth is, the Word of God, as your foundation, you don't know what to believe. The average person believes, you know, the news media, or they believe maybe a teacher, or they even believe someone from their church that is standing here that doesn't have the truth, and they can't judge things through absolute truth. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So God wants you to prove all these things. So if someone says that, you know, I'm kind of skeptical, well, let me see more about that. I kind of want to know whether it's true or not. You know, I don't take things for granted. In the old days, I was a little more gullible. I had dark hair, you know. But now that I'm losing my hair and it's gray, I'm a little more careful on things, you know. So it's charging away. So here we have this church history, which we know from history is going to end bad. So we know where here we are ending bad. So what we got here is this is actually a post. This is a post, yeah, post. Okay, post. The word apostate, think about that word. A post is straight. And if it's A, it's leaning. Apostate, apostate. It's like amusement. Amuse means to think, but A muse means not to think. right? So, you know, is music moral or amoral? It's not. It's a post is leaning, apostate. I remember I bought a pinball machine about 10 years ago. I kind of always liked the old-fashioned pinball machines, so I got one. And I call it the stress relief. And it says, for amusement only. And if I wanted to think about 10 minutes of running the pinball around, I kind of liked it for a few minutes. But it says, for amusement only. And if you don't want to think, you hit the ball there, and you're not even thinking what you're doing. You're just bouncing around there. It's kind of a stress relief, amusement, not to think. You're not thinking, about things. You're just bouncing a ball around, trying to get a score, whatever. But that's what it means, not to think. And the apostate we have today is an amazing thing. Now, what the Lord did in my life is I experienced a lot of this. And it's important because when you experience things, it kind of sets you, it makes it a conviction and a conviction. Like someone's maybe been through a divorce or lost a family member. You can relate to them because they lost somebody, whatever, ladies have had an abortion. I can't relate to that because I understand the pain, but I never had it. So I understand the apostasy because I've been through a lot of it. And what I'm trying to say is when I got saved back in 86, I went to a Bible church, Independent Fundamental Church of America, IFCA. And in my years of Christianity, I've seen this apostasy by the droves. And I always thought, is it me? Or maybe I'm watching it. Maybe it was always there. It always was. But it seems to be leaning a lot worse today, okay? So I got saved. I went to Independent Fundamental Church of America. And I actually went to too bad of a church. They believe the fundamentals that maybe, a Bible Baptist has. I mean, some things. And my pastor was a graduate from Moody Bible Institute back in the day. I mean, the day, And he was actually frustrated with Moody because, he was 80. He was 80 years old back in 1980, so he went back in the old days. And I got saved, and my brother and Mike Harris says, you want to make sure you get a King James Bible? I remember getting a book by David Otis Fuller. I read half that book. I go, this is easy. This is a no-brainer. Because I remember I had a King James Bible and an NIV. I go, this is like a no-brainer of a thing. I just assumed that everyone knew this issue, seriously. And I asked my pastor, and go, Tim, stand on the King James Bible. So I figured, okay, they told me that. I read this book, half it, I gave it away. My pastor believed that. I had no idea how of a battle this issue actually was. I wasn't until like 6 months later where I went to a Bible study and a guy had, it was a guy from Moody. I think he had a New American Standard Bible or NIV. And I go, what are you doing? That's the devil's Bible. I just said that like I thought you knew that. He gave me like, huh, what do you mean? I had no idea if you see some of these things, and then so what you got is we got right here. We stand on this here. I think it's a solid foundation. That's why in the Word of God here, God tried to tax the Word of God in Genesis chapter 3, right? Where the devil is actively trying to attack that word in Genesis chapter 3. And in Luke chapter 4, look at how the devil is trying to attack the Lord, how to get him out of that dispensational thing, So in the two accounts, you got the devil attacking the word of God, yea, had God said, adding, subtracting, right, and trying to get you out of that area. So the two accounts is interesting, because that's where he's trying to get you from, the word and right dividing, because that will help you with sound doctrine. Because what I found out in my Christian experience is, being saved is great, wonderful, hallelujah. But you know what? God wants to be glorified, Revelation 4:11. You want it before his coming. And by good doctrine, what God likes, you'll become a stronger believer. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, I'm going to show you this here, how we're leaning. And kind of, you know, we're a minority. We really are. It's kind of a sad situation that we've become a minority. And it's like when they were building the wall back in the United Day, they were attacking the enemies, and they're attacking their own Jews. They had to go both sides. They had the people that wanted to build the wall, their own people they had to fight. And sometimes it seems like we're kind of fighting our own people. And you know, my personality is now I try to be nice about things, but you can be nice still, and they get mad at you. I don't ever figure it out. I always smile at them, give them a toothy grin, and they still don't like it. You know, I'm not, my attitude there is just, you know, truth is something. Once you get truth out there, you know what happens? It kind of sits there, and some person that does not want to hear it, what happens is their voice is against their spirit, and they kind of get aggravated about it. That's why, you know, truth is an amazing thing. And somebody, a believer that is open for truth, what happens? God will give them more truth. They're going to grow. But if you kind of don't want to hear it because maybe you were raised this way or your parents or school you went to or something like that, if now you're fighting that, that's just called pride. You know, it's the pride. And then you know, I found out God just does not give you that truth. That just that seems to be what happened. And that's kind of shown here in church history. I was IFCA for a while, and I can tell I have so many stories sharing. But I spent a month telling you stories going on here, and I always went to an independent Baptist church for a while, and I always believed the book. I always believed the book, and what I found out is by believing the book and good doctrine, a lot of the people kind of like that. Because you know why? This gives you boldness. Remember in Acts. They had boldness because they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, by being with the Lord or being in the Word, you get boldness. It's like anything else in life. Knowledge gives you confidence, and confidence gives you results. You got to get into the Word. So then, you know, fortunately, I've had a ministry, get on the street, and if you want to just learn something, either do a Bible study, preach, or witness people. Because now you're kind of forced. You're forced to check out what you believe. I mean, you got someday you gotta get tested what you believe, and you gotta be tested by talking to individuals and seeing what wise people believe, so you can see, you know, and we find out it's boy, I see they have a bad teaching because they're taking this verse and pulling out of context. Like for example, in this group of people. We've got independent Baptists. Here we have, I think, a good foundation, the Bible believers. And then you've got like your new evangelicals. And then you've got your charismatics, Pentecostals. You've got your Methodists and Lutherans. And you got a lot of different brands of Christianity. And in here, there's a lot of people here that are saved. There's saved people all throughout the whole group here. Yeah, what I found out is as they reject the Word of God more, the more they're leaning and are being apostate. See that? The more they reject here, the more bad doctrine they're getting because they haven't got a solid foundation on the Word of God. They're not rightly dividing it. And now they're leaning here. And that I would say in half these groups, and I got to close a little bit, half don't believe in eternal security. Think of that. Just think of all these groups. Say people. They don't believe in eternal security. And they're saved people. Think of this here. They're saved, but their Jesus is an Indian giver Jesus. See out there? They have an Indian giver Jesus. See, their appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, they're saved, but, you know, they think the Indian giver Jesus think of isolation. That's a sad thing. And that affects your life. You get that? If you think you're going to... And I talked to them, and what they've done is they took in the Word of God out of context. And if you've been on the street a lot, people, you know already where they're going to go in Matthew or in James or in Hebrews. You already know where they're going. You're kind of smiling. You're smiling when they finish up. So you tell them, well, let me tell you how I look at it, how the Bible says. When I first got saved... The Hebrews 6 was kind of a before I got all this down, Hebrews 6 was a challenge for him because it looked like that you can lose your salvation. Because I thought that Hebrews was for the believers. I never understood that. I was young, and I read Dr. Ruckman's Hebrew commentary, and when I read that, all the pieces kind of helped me come together. When I read the Bible the first time through, I no doubt recognized there was differences, without a doubt. But I couldn't quite put them together. So God will give you truth at certain times, right? And when I got that thing down, I remember spending hours and hours with saints. We go back over Hebrews 6, back and forth. And I knew in my heart of heart, I go, I haven't got it in the giver God. I knew that. But I'm trying to put it in the scripture, and I just always had trouble with some of those verses here. But then kind of falls together. With us, it gives you that boldness. Remember, you know, boldness for the Lord. So of this group, 50% of them don't even believe in eternal security. It's kind of a sad situation that they can't get that thing down. And it's like same thing with the Word of God. They always go to that 2 Timothy 2:15, which says all scriptures give revelation of God. But if you look at the verse above it, it's talking about Timothy's mother having the scripture. I go, did you ever read the verse above that? You just think it's you put the word the originals. Not say the originals. Talk about their mom's. Their mom Eunice had the scripture. So look at that. They just read the verse above it. You see it there? And so they added that thing. And then they lost their authority for the scripture there too. In closing, I got a lot more to do, but I know our time is limited. I had an intern come in for this summer. And he's from Calvin College up in Michigan, and I know where he believes everything. He's a 21-year-old kid, so I'm trying to minister to him, giving him some. You know, I thought more about Bible than anything else. I want to get him grounded, and I said, hey. Give me any place you want. Name a place where I can go online and look what they believe. Oh, Moody Bible Institute. So sure enough, I go online, and they have the same scriptures over and over again to promote their heresy. And so I showed them, look what they believe. This is what you told me. Here it is about 2 Timothy. They're assuming the originals are only inspired. And I could see his eyes opening up. You know, I mean, it's amazing how this apostasy here, how the apostasy just kind of leans in this direction because we're in the end time. So, anyways, I have a lot more. I've only gone to one of like 8 pages, so if we can pick up some other time, I'd like to. But the point being here is understanding these things, that the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him and not us, and seeing His truth found in it through solid doctrine and the Word of God, it makes us a stronger believer and well-pleasing to the Lord. So we'll stand before Him, and we'll want to see, look for that return right there. That's why it's so tied together. It's honestly, a lot of this truth is simple, but it's profound. It's not complicated. You think about it, you know, it seems complicated, but if you get some basics down and build a good foundation on these things here, then it's easy to build upon. It's like building a house. You build a house on a bad foundation. You know, everything's going to be cricking and cracking and falling and everything. You know, you got to build it on a solid foundation. Okay? Any questions at all before I let it go? Okay. Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity to talk to these folks. I hope they can get something from the Word of God, some of these truths, Father, that you've showed me, and be able to secure them in their hearts so they'd be stronger witnesses, bolder for you when things come along, but understand why some of these truths are relevant and how some of these errors, where they come about, and they'd be able to glorify you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.